This is John 12, 20 through 33. Now among those who went to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever cherishes their soul destroys it, and whoever hates their soul is in this cosmos will preserve it for life in the age. If anyone serves me, let them follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor them. Now my soul is troubled, but what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is not for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of the sky, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this cosmos. Now the ruler of this cosmos will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of the Lord. This is the time when we provide children's worship downstairs. If you're visiting, we'd love for you to be able to take advantage of that. As you can see, we've got kids here. I love it. Jesus loves me.
Good morning again, friends. Boy, if you were able to listen to the last two slides of the gospel reading while that car horn was blaring outside, not wondering if it's yours, not getting your keys out of your pocket, you get an extra jewel in your crown today. Yeah, I will not take offense that just as it said, proclaim, like an exodus of adults ran outside to leave. I will presume you're looking at your car, not avoiding my sermon. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. As part of Women's History Month, I'd like to introduce you to Savitra Bai Phule, an extraordinary woman from India in the 1800s. And who understood as well as anyone Jesus' strange words about a grain of wheat falling to the earth to die. But before we get to Savitra Bai, a few thoughts about our gospel. Beginning with this. I learned a new word this week. Now, it is a bit antiquated, but for me that only makes it all the more wonderful. And the word is quadlibet. Ever heard that word before? I confess, it never come across my linguistic radar. So, you've heard the word before? That is fantastic. Someone raised their hand when I said, "You ever heard it before?" I thought, presumed we'd never heard it before. I confess, it never come across my linguistic radar until Tuesday this week. Quadlibet. And quadlibet means, any guesses? Arthur, do you know? Quadlibet means a topic for theological discussion. How about that? How have I never heard this word before? I love quadlibets. In fact, apart from, say, football and, I don't know, my kids, quadlibets, topics for theological discussion, are about my favorite sort of topic of all. I'm the type of guy who considers Jesus' two natures and God's three-in-oneness appropriate subject matter for chit-chat at any party I'm invited to. In fact, for me, a gathering becomes a party precisely when the quadlibets come out. Well, all that to say, I'd like to share with you from our gospel reading four quadlibets today, four theological topics for discussion, and they are glory, suffering, sorrow, and cosmos. And my hope is that these four quadlibets will help make some sense of the very densely packed theological passage we receive in John chapter 12 today, which is, by the way, Jesus' final public dialogue, his concluding words to the crowds in John's gospel. So we know they must be important. But what do they have to teach us? Well, quadlibet number one, glory. Among those who went to worship at Passover were a group of Greeks who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." 3 years have passed since Jesus' ministry began by the time we reach this point in John's gospel. And in that three-year span, Jesus has become a bit of a folk hero, a superstar of sorts in Galilee. For here is a man, if rumors are to be believed, who's turned water into wine. A rather nifty trick, I confess. A man who's turned over tables in the temple because it was shutting out the Gentiles. He's said to have cured the son of a royal official and healed the legs of an unknown paralytic. Numerous reports claim he fed 5,000 people with little more than a lunchbox full of fish and bread. And if you can believe it, he has even been seen walking on water. He's offered sight to the blind beggar, and most recently, and perhaps most importantly, this fellow raised Lazarus from the grave, a man we all know who had been dead for 4 days. And so, unsurprisingly, this group of Greeks declares, "We wish to see Jesus." Yeah, me too. For is this not precisely the Jesus we seek, the Jesus we, in fact, most want to see, the superhero Savior we've heard so much about? Philip, we wish to see Jesus too. For just like those Greeks, we are enamored with stories of superstars, and we want to catch just a glimpse of their glory and perhaps even participate in it ourselves. I mean, who wouldn't want a sip of supernatural wine? But Jesus, knowing our hearts, replies to this request, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And you can just imagine the excitement those Greeks must have felt on hearing those words. Yes, that is what we are talking about. Show us some glory. We want to see Jesus. Which brings us to quadlibet number two, suffering. For Jesus, crafty as ever, has merely lured us in with all this talk of glory, only to flip our misguided hopes on their heads like tables in a temple. "My glory," he declares, "is like a grain of wheat that must fall to the earth and die." And that is so far from what we were hoping to hear, we cannot help but wonder if we're still talking about the same thing. For let's be honest, nobody wants sorrowful Jesus, sad guy Jesus, suffering Jesus. Give us back the superstar. Which is precisely what Jesus will give us, but just not in a way we had ever imagined. unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies. That, Jesus said, is what this glory looks like. If any seek it, let them follow. I've often wondered what that group of Greeks was thinking at just this point in the conversation. You know, Jesus, never mind. How about we come back later? Perhaps we'll catch you at the next wedding. How about that? You're a lot more fun with a bit of wine in the mix. Which brings us to quadlibet number three, sorrow. And now Jesus says, my soul is troubled. For the fact is, suffering sucks. And it is most certainly not what we were made for. But it is, nevertheless, the inevitable outcome of taking a stand against the powers that be in this disordered cosmos. Which brings us to our fourth and final quadlibet, the hardest words in this entire passage. The ones you missed while that car horn was blaring outside. In case you missed it, it said this. Whoever cherishes their soul destroys it. But whoever hates their soul in this cosmos will preserve it for life in the age. What could that possibly mean? Are we really supposed to hate ourselves, our lives, our world? Well, as Paul might say, by no means. And it is important that we get this clear. We are not called to hate ourselves, to hate our lives, or to hate our world. That is not what this passage is saying. Jesus himself does not do that. But what Jesus does say is that we are to hate our souls in this cosmos. But what does that even mean? Well, the key word in that phrase is cosmos. Cosmos is simply Jesus speak for all the complex and complicated ways that this world harms and oppresses, excludes and subjects, exploits and enslaves. Whatever denies love and justice, goodness and grace, beauty and blessing for ourselves and for our neighbors, that is what Jesus means by cosmos. And that is why Jesus speaks of hate. For if you cherish your place in that world, Jesus says, if you get comfortable and cozy in that world, the only possible result is the destruction of your very soul, unless you hate the cosmos of exploitation and harm, oppression and subjection. You cannot participate in the dawning of the new age. Well, as you may have noticed by this point, those Greeks are now long gone. In fact, John never mentions them again. And who can blame him? For these are hard words to swallow. Those Greeks, no doubt, wandered away wondering just what all this that Jesus is talking about would even look like in a real human life, and why Jesus would ever call any of it glory. It's certainly not the type of glory that they, or even we, have signed up for. And yet, 1,800 years later, an uneducated, lower caste Indian woman named Savitribai Phule proved Jesus' point. And not with words alone, but with her very life. You see, Savitribai Phule was born into a cosmos where one's social caste, and especially one's gender, were considered one's defining characteristics. A cosmos where, if you were a female and you were of the lowest caste, you were, quite literally, considered to be nothing, with no options and no freedoms. And therefore, it was a cosmos that this woman absolutely refused to get comfortable and cozy with, as if she had just been reading John chapter 12. But tell me, what is an illiterate woman such as Savitri Bai Phule to do in a cosmos like the one she was born into? Particularly when her family actually threatens to disown her if she seeks an education or even learns to read. Well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, Savitri Bai Phule takes her stand against the powers of this cosmos and seeks an education anyway, suffering the consequence of being thrown out of her own family home. But tell me, what is she to do when her efforts to earn a teaching certificate are met by upper class crowds casting rocks at her as she headed to school each day? Well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, she endures the stones and completes her studies anyway, taking her stands against the powers of this cosmos and becoming the first ever female teacher in India. But tell me, what is Savitri Bai Phule to do when no school will hire her? No academy will enroll any students from the lower castes, when even her own castes assails her with verbal abuse for the, and I'm quoting, moral evil of seeking to disrupt the powers that be in this cosmos? Well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, she endures their scorn and takes her stand against the powers of this corrupt cosmos, establishing the first ever Indian school accepting students from all castes. And tell me this, what is this woman to do when rallies are held against her, instigated by the upper castes, and the community is commanded to throw dung at her? Yes, dung at her, whenever she passes them by on the road. Well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, Savitri Bai Phule endures by carrying an extra sari with her wherever she goes, so that when she is assaulted in such a way, it will not deter her from her task. She suffers so she can take her stand against the powers of this crazy cosmos. Savitri Bai Phule refuses to get cozy and comfortable. She refuses to cherish her soul, her place in this cosmos, and instead takes a stand against the destructive ways of this lopsided world. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Savitri Bai Phule died to the comforts of her cosmos, accepted its inevitable suffering, and in so doing, helped usher in a new age. And her fruits, her glory, are undeniable, along with the many schools she established, schools that have to this point educated millions of members of the lower castes, including now the university named in her honor. She also published works of poetry that spoke to freedom for her people. She established an organization focused on raising awareness of women's rights, the first of its kind in India. She created a center for women of all castes to gather and share life without discrimination. She opened a shelter where lower class caste women could safely deliver babies. She campaigned against child marriage. She advocated for widow remarriage. and later started a home for both widows and abandoned children. At one point in her journey, when a young man of an upper caste was about to be lynched for deigning to love a woman of a lower caste, Savitrabai rushed into the middle of the melee and dared them to kill her along with him. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies. The mob, by the way, subsequently dispersed, reminding us of a rabbi from Israel who did the same thing. Savitrabai Phule died in 1897 at age 66. She had opened a clinic earlier that year to treat those impacted by the worldwide bubonic plague. A young man who had contracted the illness was left dying on the outskirts of town. Savitrabai lifted him on her back, that 66-year-old woman, and carried him to the clinic, in the process, contracting the plague herself. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth. A century later, India chose for its national stamp her name and her image, a testament to the holy fruits of her cosmos-shaking life. A group of Greeks came to the disciples and said, "We wish to see Jesus." The Lord looked on them and replied, "You will find me precisely where a single grain of wheat is willing to fall to the earth and die. Call it Jesus' cosmic quadlibet." May God grant us such glory. Amen.